This morning, the chief of police in Minneapolis outlined a preliminary plan to reform the department. This comes 2 weeks after the death of George Floyd, which sparked protests and calls to defund and even dismantle police departments across the country. Chief Madaria Arredondo says he will start by immediately withdrawing from contract negotiations with the police union, often seen as an obstacle to reform.
We know that the time is now. And it would be the greatest disservice in policing if we did not use the will and the energy and the inspiration to make some significant changes nationwide as it relates to race and policing.
Let's take a big picture view of policing with Lorenzo Boyd, director of the Center for Advanced Policing at the University of New Haven in Connecticut. He joins us on Skype. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You've studied policing for several years. You were once a sheriff and a corrections officer. And thinking about police reform or this idea of dismantling, you've said we need to go back to the origins of policing in this country, and that is slave patrol. Why is this detail important in the context of this moment?
We've been pretty much doing policing the same way for the last 300 or 400 years. Before we had organized the police departments, particularly in the South, the slave owners would reach out to a bunch of vigilante citizens and tell them, I need help protecting my plantation. So they said, if you capture the slaves and bring them back, we'll pay you money. So then they started to be night riders riding around these rural areas looking for slaves not on plantation. So that kind of morphed into Southern policing in this country. And we see remnants of that because a lot of Southern police departments either started through the KKK or had many Klan members in them. So that moved forward. And today there's a lot of communities in the South that reportedly have a lot of Klan members still in it. And we have the mentality that the police dictate the actions. Upwards of 90% of policing is reactive. So if we change the focus of policing and make policing more proactive and deal with community issues and not just focus on crime, then I think we've got a chance of actually making a difference.
But Lorenzo, community policing is not new. Why has it not been implemented across the board?
Community policing looks very different in different communities. In order for us to effectively use community policing, we have to convince police administrators that their main priority is not simply fighting crime and not simply answering 911 calls. And that's a paradigm shift because in policing, it's numbers driven, the amount of crimes reported, the amount of arrests made. And it's hard to quantify the amount of crimes that didn't happen. And it's hard to quantify the time that an officer spends in the community building relationship. So if we can move from the reactive paradigm into a more proactive paradigm, then community policing is a wonderful thing and it can work really well.
This speaks to something else. I used to be a police beat reporter, and I remember hearing a lot that the primary mission for a beat officer is to make it home at night. And you've said that is a flawed way of framing a mission because it essentially creates an us versus them relationship with communities.
Yeah, the tacit premise of that line of thinking is that the community members are the enemy, which is kind of a militaristic view of doing policing, which is problematic because we want the officer clearly to come home safely, but we want community members to be safe and we want the relationship to build. So if you already think that there's an adversarial relationship, then it's doomed for failure.
You know, there have been efforts to increase the number of women and people of color at departments throughout the country, but you've also said that's not enough, that we need to think of the culture of policing as a battleship that we can't just turn around on a dime. Can you say more?
The best quote that I heard came from the former commissioner of Chicago, Gary McCarthy, right after he was removed. When he was doing his interviews, he said, people think that the police are racist, but that's not realistic. The police themselves are not, don't have a race problem. America has a race problem, and the police are just a reflection of that. So if you think about how we move through policing and who we bring into policing, and if we train police to be more compassionate, or we train them on diversity issues, If you go in and do a 1 8-hour training, most police officers spend 900 hours in the academy. So if we just add 8 hours of diversity training, that's not going to do a lot, you know, one time. And I've been training police officers for 20 years. Recently, when I started training police in the last few years, I tried to bring community members in because I want the police to understand the lived experience of the people in the community. I want to put a face to some of the things that they think are problematic. So when you bring people in and you see these are moms and dads and kids and people that are really trying to do the right thing, then you can't view the community as just a group of others or a group of potential offenders. You actually get to see them as people.
Yeah. There's been adversarial relationships in cities and towns throughout the country with having community boards that assess police and what they're doing and having that relationship. Are you seeing that change?
In some places, because you've got a bunch of progressive chiefs that are coming on and trying to change what's happening in their communities. You know, you can see chiefs like Gina Hawkins in Fayetteville or CJ Davis in Durham or Danielle Outlaw in Philadelphia. But again, if you notice, these are chiefs of color. These are black women chiefs. So from the top, if we're changing the perspective, because many people that are chiefs have been on the job 20 years, 30 years. So they were trained under the old mentality. So if we can get the chiefs to see a better way, and then we can train the command staff and then work its way down, and then we can continuously train line officers, then I think we've got a chance of moving forward.
What about the idea of budget cuts? So Los Angeles and New York City and Minneapolis, as we've been talking about, are all proposing a cut to police budgets, arguing that reforming police is actually the first step, and spending that money on improving community service like access to mental health care should be a priority. Do you think that that's a good idea?
I think that's a fantastic idea. But let's think, that's not a new idea, because we've been reallocating resources every year forever. It's not unusual that a mayor or a city council would say we need to pull somebody out of the police budget to put it in other places, because in most places, 80, almost 90% of a police budget is personnel and benefits. So taking some of that out, and a lot of it is overtime, and taking that out, putting it in community services makes sense. Because remember, crime is not the problem. Crime is symptomatic of much bigger problems in society. And the reason we have crime is because we have addiction, we have homelessness, we have transiency, we have lack of education, we have underemployment. We have all these social problems that together lend themselves to criminality. So if we can solve some of these problems before they become crimes, then we can let the police focus on the service mentality that they were supposed to do. And the problem is we use the police as a giant dumpster, and we put all of society's problems on the police, and the police are ill-equipped to handle every problem from society.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because in many ways, a big portion of their work is social work. I want to ask you about something else. So Democrats in Washington want to end qualified immunity, which shields officers from lawsuits. They're also proposing making it easier to charge officers with federal civil rights violations. Are these measures that you feel would lead to reform?
I do think it's going to lead to reform, because a lot of police officers seem to operate under some level of impunity. And many officers don't think they're going to get in trouble for their actions, and they certainly don't think they're going to be charged. So if we can put that back out there, because the rest of society works like that, we know that we can be charged civilly and criminally for doing bad in the commission of our jobs. So the reform won't affect most police officers, because most officers do the right thing and most officers are good officers, and it's not going to affect them at all.
But what about police unions? They're really powerful, and we've seen in the past that they have been in opposition of many of these police reform ideas.
Yeah, the whole purpose of a union, and I spent the bulk of my career in a union, but the union is supposed to protect officers, and the subculture of policing often protects officers even when they shouldn't. So there needs to be some give and take. I am absolutely pro-union, but I want my unions to be smart. I want the union to realize that protecting bad officers is antithetical to the oath that they've sworn.
What does the police department of the future look like?
That's a fantastic question. The police department of the future is going to have young people who are better educated, not just better trained, but better educated. They're going to have compassion. They're going to have empathy. One of the things that we do at the University of New Haven, at the Center for Advanced Policing, we've abandoned the idea of trying to build a better cop. What we do is we empower citizens and we empower students and give them levels of empathy and give them critical thinking skills. And we try to build a better person and then guide them into policing. I think that's the future of policing. And I think the future of policing could, with reform, be great.
That's Lorenzo Boyd. He is director of the Center for Advanced Policing at the University of New Haven. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.